So today is a special day. It's the third week of our series, The Day Of. And if you're new today or haven't been here in a while, The Day Of is simply this. We knew Pentecost Sunday was coming. Pentecost Sunday commemorates the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in the Bible. On that day, that was the day that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and fill and empower the believers, and they were all gathered in the upper room. And on that day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then after that, the gifts of the Spirit began to flow. Peter steps out in front of this massive crowd in front of the Jewish temple and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved and baptized. The day of Pentecost was a big day. So this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at three different vantage points on this day. Week one, I opened up the series and I titled it The Day Of Expectation, because Jesus told his followers to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait with expectation, because the promised Holy Spirit was about to come and empower. So we talked about what expectation does in our own lives and how it sets the stage for God to move. Last week was the day of power, and my wife Mandy preached a brilliant message on the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we give her a big hand for that message last week? Powerful. And today we're concluding the series, and I've titled my message today, The Day of Salvation, because it's not only the day of expectation. Yes, the Holy Spirit empowered the followers that day, but it's not only the day of power. When we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to ask why. It's not just so that we can have giftings. It's not just so we can say, oh, I was filled with power, or I have a spiritual gift. What's the purpose? The purpose is to build the body of Christ and to preach the gospel and to build the kingdom of God around the world. It's to spread the message, the hope of Jesus Christ. That's why I believe at the end of the day, the day of Pentecost is the day of salvation. 3,000 people get saved and baptized. And Peter steps out and he preaches in Acts chapter 2 this brilliant gospel message. And what do I mean by gospel? The gospel is just the breakdown and the presentation of the why behind all of this. Why did Jesus come? What was the need for Jesus to come into this world? What was the need for Jesus to go to the cross? Why did he come out of the grave, and what does it mean for us? And Peter preaches this amazing masterpiece of a sermon. But when he was done preaching, I want to read verses 37 through 41, and this was the result. When the people heard this, it says they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter, so this is the crowd, they're saying to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They're convicted by this message, their challenge. And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And then in verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message, so those who did repent, those who did call on the name of Jesus, were baptized, water baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was a powerful, powerful day, all because of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. It was not about Peter. It was not about the apostles. It was about Jesus. N.T. Wright said this when it comes to defining the gospel. The great New Testament theologian says, the gospel is not just good advice. It is good news. It is not about what we must do, but about what God has done through Jesus. I think that deserves an amen. It's about what God has done through Jesus. So today's service is a little bit condensed. Why? Because as a church, we're going to do what they did on the day of Pentecost. I'm gonna preach a condensed message, and we're gonna go out to our atrium here outside at our North Campus and Maui Campus, and we're gonna celebrate with those who are taking the next step in water baptism. And it's gonna be a day of celebration. But what I wanna do for the next few minutes is break down what the gospel is. Why do we gather like this? What is the purpose of all of this, and why did Jesus have to come? So the header today is this, the message and power of the gospel. This is what Peter preached that day. Number one is this, the problem. We all need saving. We have to start with the problem. There is a problem. You can look around in the world and look at enough people to go, we all need saving. Can I get an amen? We all need saving. We're all in the same sinking ship. Every single person. Romans 3:23 validates that. It says, for all have sinned. How many? All. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. On one hand, that's a little depressing. Everyone. And on the other hand, it's freeing. Everyone, right? Everyone has sinned. You look up and down the row next to you. Yep, they're all sinners. Just like us, just like you, we've all sinned. And sin separates us from God, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The first sin that was committed by mankind separated us from the perfection and holiness of God, because our sin cannot coexist with the holiness of God. So there needed to be something to bridge the gap, some mediator, something to happen to cover the sin. There had to be a sacrifice for sin, because we've all missed the mark, all of us. And I want you to get this. Salvation isn't just for the bad people. It's for all people. It's for all people. I think sometimes, and we've even joked, if you've been a Christian for very long and in church circles, you'll meet someone and you'll walk away from them going, they need Jesus. You guys ever said that? Like, they need Jesus. But then you walk by a mirror and you're like, me too. You know, like, they need Jesus. I need Jesus. We have all sinned. It's not just for bad people. I think sometimes we look at this and go, that person really needs church. I know I kind of do, but they really need God, you know? But we're all in the same boat. I want you to think about this. Let's say you were on a boat in the ocean and a storm comes. It's a violent storm and you don't have a life vest on, and all of a sudden a wave hits and you're tossed overboard in the ocean. It doesn't matter if you're 1,000 feet from the shore, if you're a mile from the shore, or if you're 50 miles from the shore, every person who falls off that boat in that situation, no matter how far they are from the shore, they all need equal saving. It doesn't matter how close you think you are to godliness outside of Jesus. If we have not called on the name of Jesus to be our covering, our salvation, to be the sacrifice for our sins, if we have not called on him to be our Lord and Savior, we're still fighting for our lives in the ocean, no matter how close we think we are. No matter how bad or good we think we are, we all need saving. Number two is this. So the number one was the problem. Number two, well, the provision. Jesus saves completely. Now, some of you, if you've gone to church very long, you're like, man, this is pretty simple stuff today. I think it doesn't get any more simple, truly, on one hand, but it doesn't get any more powerful on the other. Because when Peter stepped out and preached that day, this is what he's breaking down. You've heard of the prophecies, he says, from the Old Testament. You've been waiting on something to save you. But it was Jesus, and he gets even pointed because he's looking at a crowd that was yelling, crucify him, you know, just a few weeks earlier. And he's going, and this is what Peter does. It's pretty crazy. He looks at this crowd and goes, yeah, that Jesus, the one you killed, yeah, he came to save you. Now, that's a hellfire and brimstone sermon right there. But Peter points at the crowd, and they're all like, whoa. But this is what Peter is breaking down, who Jesus is. And then he gets to the provision part. He saves completely. He's our Lord and Savior. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us. Shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is by far one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because this verse shows and proves the love of God. God wasn't waiting for you, is not waiting for you to get your act together. He's not waiting for you to fix some things before you come to him. He loves us so much that he sent his son in time and space into this world to die for us while we were still yet in our sin. While I was still in my sin, my lowest point, my darkest moment, the secret sin, when I was saying I could do it myself and I don't need God, when we were living the double life, in those moments when we think that God would be ashamed, that's when he's saying salvation, the offer is still there. While you were still sinning, Christ died for us. I think we can clap to that. I think that's a really cool thing. So at the cross, Jesus didn't just offer help. He offered himself. This is fundamental to Christianity. He didn't come to help us, just to teach us, to give us some pointers, to show us some cool truths. Jesus was a fantastic teacher, the best that ever lived. He did come to fulfill the law for sure. But Jesus came first and foremost to do one thing, to do the only thing we could not do, save ourselves. He offered himself as our substitute, which means the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. This is intense, this is heavy, but because I have sinned, the eternal law of God says, because I've sinned, that the wages of that sin is death. There's a penalty of death. But God, in his love for us, says, I'm going to send my one and only son into the world to take care of the eternal law, the wages of sin. He's going to take care of that on the cross. And all we have to do is put our faith in Jesus and what he's done, and we'll be saved. He is our substitute. That's why I say he didn't just die for us. He died as us on the cross. It was my sin that was latched onto him while he died on the cross. It was your sin that was latched onto him, the heaviness, while he was dying on the cross. Isaiah 53, 5 through 6 was a prophecy hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And it lays the idea of substitution perfectly. It says this, but it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole. And in his wounding, we found our healing. I love that line. Like wayward sheep, we all have wandered astray. Each of us has turned from God's paths and chosen our own way. Even so, listen to this, God laid the guilt of our every sin upon him. Upon him, Jesus. Now, here's what's important to know too. We don't need to feel bad for Jesus, because Jesus went willingly. He had to go willingly. He went willingly out of his love for us. It wasn't because the Father was mad at him. It wasn't that Jesus went begrudgingly. Jesus went willingly out of passion in his love for us to die in our stead. The cross was not just a symbol of love. It was substitution. He took our place. And get this, and the resurrection proves that it worked. The debt is paid. Death has been defeated. That's what's amazing about the gospel. So this is it. You ready? My sin, when I call on the name of the Lord Jesus to be my Savior and Lord, when I call on his name, and I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to do that, all of a sudden, the sin that has made me guilty is transferred spiritually to Jesus on the cross. My sin is now on Jesus on the cross, and in eternity, Jesus is dying, right? He died for my sins. My sin died with him on the cross. Why is the resurrection important, right? Because the sin died with Jesus, but when Jesus came out of the grave, where did the sin stay? Dead. Jesus came out alive, but your sin stayed dead. The guilt stayed dead. The death sentence stayed dead. Now when I call on him to be my Lord and Savior, I am fully alive now, and I can be fully alive forever because Jesus came out of the grave. So number one is the problem. Number two, the provision. And number three, the promise. Here's the promise. Anyone can be made new. Anyone. Because as I'm talking about that over the last few minutes, some of you here at our North Campus, Maui Campus, you might be thinking, this is great for other people, but you have no idea what has been in my heart, what I've done. The acts in the secrecy, in the dark places, how I used to think of God and the mess of my life, you just don't know. No, I may not, but God does. And while you are still yet a sinner, Christ died for you. The promise is anyone can be made new. Salvation isn't about what we can do. It's about what God has already done. What has he done? Yeah, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. It's available to everyone. Get this, it's available to everyone, but must be received personally. That's why Christianity is so inclusive. It's for anyone. But then where it gets exclusive is it's got to come down to an individual decision today to say, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, not in myself, not in another way of thinking. I'm not going to have one foot in, one foot out. I'm today, or when that moment comes of salvation, to say, it's a decision of saying, today's the day of salvation for me, and I'm going all in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." I love that. Romans 10:9 also says this. This is how someone is saved. It sounds so simple, it doesn't even feel right. But when I say it's not about what we do, about what God has done, this is the proof. Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved." Period on the end of that sentence. You will be saved. Isn't it interesting? Even the most seasoned Christians, if we're not careful, try to overcomplicate this. We look at people's lives and we go, "I know we say people shouldn't clean up their lives, but that person, they, yeah." Like, we've got to be very careful. Because when Jesus says anyone, he means anyone. When Jesus says, when anyone declares that Jesus is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead will be saved. It's not can be saved, not might be saved, will be saved. That's a declaration. That's a promise from God, and that's something we can hold on to securely in our own hearts. The promise of salvation is a new start, a new identity, a new life, not just in eternity, but today. It's the promise of hope. It's a promise of peace, not the absence of conflict or not the absence of pain, but the presence of Jesus in all of it, good and bad. It's knowing that my anchor is in him. And I want to tell you today, God sees you today, not with a judgmental eye, but with the eye of compassion. The Bible says that it's his kindness that draws us to himself and draws us to repentance. I'm a firm believer that nothing happens by accident and nothing is a coincidence. I believe in God's sovereignty, and I believe that you're here for a reason today because his kindness sees you, his love sees you, and you're hearing a message like this. And I believe God is prompting people's hearts today to be open to what Jesus wants to do. I want to share a story with you today of exactly that. About a year ago, I shared this person's story, and from my vantage point, it was a very crazy day that happened on Good Friday of 2024, but I've asked her to come share from her vantage point today. So if you would help me welcome Jackie Gattuso to the stage, would love her to come and share her story. Jackie, your story, I know you're gonna share, changed your life that day, but man, if I'm being honest, it changed my life because it showed me, as big as God is, it's a reminder, as big as he is, he also just loves us so specifically and individually. So Good Friday 2024, share us a little bit about what your life was looking like and your story.
Yeah, so during that time, I was living a very worldly life. I was drinking, going out clubbing, and living in sexual immorality. And that month of March, I hit a breaking point where I was going through so much and I hit rock bottom. And I remember just laying there and always just asking God, like, why? Why me? Like, why am I going through this? Like, and I felt like he didn't love me. Also because I only went to him when I needed him. And I was like, I took him for granted. Like, it sucks when people take us for granted. Yeah. I took him for granted. And so on Good Friday, I remember just my plans, actually. Okay, so my plans for that day were to go out with my friends and have a fun weekend and get drunk, whatever. And the night before that, I was laying in bed and I was praying and crying and asking God, like, can you just help me? Like, fill the emptiness in me. I'm so broken. I'm a mess and I don't know what to do. And the next morning, which is Good Friday, I'm driving to work and I felt convicted because I knew the true meaning of Good Friday and Easter. And I thought to myself, okay, why am I going to go out and drink and get drunk and have like a good time when I could be at church praising God? Mm-hmm. And so I called my friends and I'm like, hey guys, I'm not going out anymore. And immediately they made fun of me and they were like, yeah, we're really gonna go to church instead of going out. Because I was like, yeah. I ignored their comments, came to church. And before I came to church, I felt like unworthy of coming because I was like, you know, God doesn't love me. I failed him so many times, I don't think I should even go, but I still came. I came and I sat over there and I remember Maddie was preaching. And she kept repeating, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And she even pointed that direction and it felt like, you know, towards me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, he loves me. And I felt a feeling that I can't even like explain. And so church ended, I got in my car, and immediately I got in my head again. I was like, okay, God help me. Like, I'm just so empty, I'm broken. Like, what do I do? And so during that time, I had depression, and I didn't really eat. And so actually, I ended up getting a big appetite after that. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go get myself some Canes. So I'm away to Canes.
Good call.
Yeah. And so I'm praying and I'm crying. So I'm like, God, please just help me and get my food. And I'm dog sitting. So I'm driving to that neighborhood.
Can I pause you real quick? So this is what's crazy about you. Some of you were here a year ago when I shared this story. On Good Friday, my daughter's car broke down before our Good Friday service. And so we canceled our dinner plans that we normally do after service and went to go see about her car. It was stuck in a parking lot. We got there and randomly the car started and we were like, we didn't have to cancel our dinner plans, but we already canceled them. So then we were just like, okay, well, let's just go home. So I shouldn't have been home at the time. We didn't know each other, obviously. At the time, she's pulling into this neighborhood of a house she doesn't live at, that she's dog sitting at. Okay.
So I drive in and I see two men standing on the street. And I'm like, looking at them, I'm like, is that Pastor Destin? There's no way that's Pastor Destin. So I pull into the driveway in the garage and I'm in my car and I'm like, should I go talk to him? And I was like, no, I don't think I should. Then I got up without thinking, got out of my car, started walking down the driveway, and I'm looking straight at Pastor Destin. He's kind of looking at me. And I was like, Pastor Destin, I was just at your service. And he was like, no way. And I was like, yeah, completely lost it. I lost it. And I was like, I'm a mess. Like, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. And at that time, I didn't really tell anybody what I was going through because I didn't have anybody. So he ends up asking me, like, what's going on? And it felt good to finally tell someone what I was going through. And him and his father end up praying for me there in the middle of the street. And it was just amazing. God's timing was just great. And
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I invited her to come to the Easter service, and she did. But when she walked into that house, I looked at my dad and I went, Dad, I mean, every hair on my body was standing up. I had chills. I said, Dad, is that crazy? He goes, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And we stood out there and we talked and cried. And I said, Dad, what a reminder of God will move heaven and earth to show one person, I love you. And it is such a cool thing. You came on Easter Sunday morning and you were there with a few family members and you raised your hand at the end of service to go all in with God. And what's so cool is this last January, you were able to get water baptized here at the church. I was able to baptize you. You're on our serve team. Share a little bit about what life looks like now and maybe encourage us a little bit.
Life's amazing. I've never looked back. God's grace is just speechless. I love him. And so if you're here today and you guys haven't gotten baptized, I encourage you to do it. Give him a chance. It's the start to something beautiful and eternal. And he loves each and every one of you guys.
Awesome. Can you guys give Jackie a big round of applause? Thank you so much. I'll never, ever, ever for the rest of my life get over that story. It rocked me so much. So when I tell you today God sees you, he sees you. I want to end with this verse. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this. God says, at the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Listen, now is the perfect time. Today is the day of salvation. Do you guys believe that today? Today is the day of salvation. At each of the campuses, if you would bow your heads and close your eyes today, I want to end with this. I presented the gospel today, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you're here today at our central campus, North or Maui, and you're today thinking, my story might be similar to Jackie's, or it might be a little different, but the fact remains, I right now, where I stand, am not all in on God. I don't know if I've ever truly received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, truly declared with my mouth, Jesus, your Lord, and I believe in my heart. If that's you today, I'm not gonna have you stand or come forward, but simply just in a moment, raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with. But we're gonna pray together and give you an opportunity, just like Jackie did on that day, to receive Christ and to not be perfect, but to never look back, to say, I need a Savior. I see my sin. I need a Savior, and I want to be forgiven, and I want to be a brand new creation today. If that's you, on the count of three, if you just raise your hand right where you are at each of our campuses so we can know who we're praying with, be confident, be bold about it, and we're gonna celebrate with you on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you are. Lift your hand right where you are. Thank you, thank you. Keep them lifted just for a moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome, thank you guys. Thank you, thank you. You can put them right back down. Wow. If you raised your hand at each of the campuses, no one, not one person will pressure you with this at all. But we do have an opportunity for baptism at each of the campuses today following service. You don't have to be pre-registered. We have changes of clothes. We have changing rooms. We have everything you could think of planned for because we want to make that step easy for you. On that day of Pentecost, people declared that Jesus was Lord. And the very next thing they did was get water baptized. Even if you're here today and you didn't just receive Christ, but maybe you have in the past, or maybe you've never been water baptized and gone public with your faith, the same goes for you. Just all you need to do when we leave is to walk out. You can see how things are going. And if you want to jump in and be baptized at all campuses, people are just jumping in and doing it spontaneously. And it's just one big celebration out there. But I want to pray for every person that raised their hand that this could be a day where salvation is solidified in your heart now and forever, and that our lives will forever be changed. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, I pray for every person in this room at our North Campus and Maui Campus that just raised their hands. It's not raising our hands that saves us, but Romans 10:9 tells us, right now we're confessing with our mouth, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I need a Savior, Jesus. And I believe in my heart, my whole heart, Jesus, that you're alive, you came out of the grave and want relationship with me. Come into my life, change me, forgive me, set me free, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen.